Mini episode 569 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 569. Rick Morris and Steve Callis, your FDH Lounge dignitaries today. Steve Callis, good friend from the STN.net, from WFAN in New York, stevecallis.com. Steve, of course, one of our premier in-house guys, just about top of the list here for talking horse racing. I think we've done this with him and with Bob Glassman previously, but few, if any, people I know are any smarter than Steve about horse racing. And again, with the Triple Crown on the line this weekend at Belmont, American Pharoah with a chance to bring it home in a field that now has been shrunk to 8 horses. And we're doing this a little bit of a disadvantage here. We're doing this before the post draw, so we don't know where everybody's going to be staffed as we are recording this today. But thoughts going into this weekend about the shorter field, and similar actually to what we saw at the Preakness, even though the length will be exactly opposite of what we saw there.
Yeah, well, a very interesting race. You know, it's just hard to believe that a horse can race the way American Pharoah has raced. And again, as you know, that's 3 times in 5 weeks, 3 different racetracks, 3 different distances. He also raced 3 weeks before the Derby when he won the Arkansas Derby. So this is really 4 races in 8 weeks. I got to tell you, these horses are not bred that way anymore. They're not trained that way anymore. Can American Pharoah do it? Well, you know, a lot of people thought he didn't have the pedigree to go a mile and a quarter in the Derby. Obviously, he can do that. I thought he got a huge break in the Preakness because he's excellent in the slop, and there was a monsoon 15 minutes before the Preakness. I mean, it was just unbelievable. So do I think he can win? Yes. Will I pick him at the end of this segment to win? No. There's just something about picking against these horses. He certainly is a talented horse who has already outraced his pedigree. It's interesting. I'm certainly not a pedigree expert, but I do follow it. And things like dosage index, where American Pharoah has the highest dosage index in the field, the lower the dosage index, at least in theory, the better chance you can go 12 furlongs a mile and a half, which is what the Belmont is. Again, these horses have never gone this distance before, and they will never go this distance again. So there's a lot to what's happened in recent years. As you know, people race in the Derby. They take off the Preakness, so they have a month off between the Derby and the Belmont, and invariably those fresh shooters coming out of the woodwork invariably beat the almost Triple Crown winner. And again, we've had a number of them over the years. They just can't seem to get the job done. So I won't be shocked if he wins. He'll be hailed as a super horse, as he should be, but I don't think he's going to win the Belmont.
Well, in terms of pedigree, I want to ask you a question about that, although I got a side note just to put out there previously. I don't remember where I had read this exactly, but somebody making the quasi-farcical note that horses that have had the chance to win the Triple Crown the last few times out have typically had names like Smarty Jones. And if you look at the very, very regal list of names of Triple Crown winners, American Pharoah fits on that list nicely. Most of the other ones that were also rans in recent years do not. That's not anything that's hard science. Something that is hard science that I want to ask you about, and again, I'm not a guy who knows a tremendous amount about horse racing, although I've been going to the track on and off a good part of my life and have read about it a decent degree. And when I read about it, it's mostly from this guy. I've got a book or two from him, Andrew Beyer. He had a column in the Washington Post that I put aside that I wanted to ask you about because I've not seen this come up anywhere. I'm sure this is something that's old hat to somebody like you. I'm sure you've thought about this point previously, but he's talking about the role of breeding and pedigree and that horses are pretty much these days obviously bred for speed. You're talking about, well, they haven't run this distance before. They'll never run it again. Because the Belmont is such an anomaly, I want to get your thoughts on his column about how the breeding of these horses puts some of the elite ones at a real disadvantage because the elite horses in recent decades have not really been bred for stamina.
Yeah, I read the column, and of course, Barr is one of the premier writers, semi-retired now from the Washington Post, but still contributes and to the Daily Racing Forum. You know, the Barr speed figures is still the key to these kinds of races, or many people rely on them. And of course, I think he's right, but the problem is now, it's true in thoroughbred racing, it's true in harness racing, where I worked at the track there for 10 years, you breed for speed. You don't breed for stamina. You don't breed for distance. You don't race for distance. You know, a mile and a quarter is considered incredibly long. So a mile and a half is, you know, ridiculous. We will talk about one horse, Mooptahij, who's Irish bred, and some people are picking him as a hot horse because he is bred for distance. They breed differently in Ireland than they do in the U.S. But for many years now, the breeders in America breed for speed, and that's true in both of those sports, and you don't go there looking for horses who can grind it out for a mile and a half. You look for horses who can get there quickly, and that's why there's been a movement towards, in the last, I'll say, 25 years, a movement towards sprinters and speed horses, milers, if you will, but certainly no more than a mile and a quarter. And even those races aren't as often as they used to be. So you have the classic distance of the Derby, a mile and a quarter, but nobody ever goes more than that except in the Belmont. And really, your top races, the Met Mile, for example, a lot of these races are at 1 mile, so that's the new distance. And again, it's not new anymore. It's been going on for at least 25 years. A mile and an eighth, a mile and a quarter. So part of the reason, and certainly I'm in the camp that thinks they should spread these races out. I know a lot of people aren't. But part of the reason is simply because there's no reason. What Beyer said essentially was there's no reason to breed for distance, because you're only talking about the Belmont, and as you said, it's an anomaly. And we're all for tradition, we're all for this, we're all for that, but these horses have not been bred to race 3 times in 5 weeks. You go back in the old days of these other Triple Crown winners in the 30s and 40s, I mean, they routinely raced every other week. That's not true anymore. If you have a thoroughbred who races more than once a month now, that's unusual, and I'm not talking about cheap claimers who might race every few weeks. If you have a good horse, you're not racing them more than once a month, and I've written columns in the past, Kentucky Derby first Saturday in May, Preakness first Saturday in June, Belmont first Saturday in July, and then they can all show up if they want at the Travers at Saratoga at the end of August after getting 7 weeks off and go fight some more, and that leads you to the Breeders' Cup. So I think it should be changed. I understand the reasons not to change, but the notion, the analogy I use, and you'll like it, Rick, it's a baseball analogy. The analogy I use is if we thought like these people, Major League pitchers would be pitching either every third day or every fourth day.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you look at the history of baseball, and I have, and I've written these articles as well, when Cy Young pitched, why do these guys have 380, 400, 511 wins like Cy Young? They pitched every third day. And then in the 20s, it started to be every fourth day. And then in the late 60s, I remember interviewing Jim Cott some years ago. He said the first team to go to a four-man rotation were the Mets in the late 60s to protect Seaver and Kuzman and Gentry and even a young Nolan Ryan. They were the first. And then through the 70s, everybody went. And so now we have, you know, you pitch every fifth day. And I wrote an article last year that the Mets should go to a six-man rotation. So if we use the same analogy in horse racing, if we use it in baseball, you'd have guys pitching every third or fourth day. Who would listen to that for human beings? So why is it different for horses? I've never understood that, nor do I get an answer other is, oh, it's tradition, and that's why we've always done it that way. I really think it's a mistake.
I think that's a perfect point of comparison. I really, really do, because the parallels in terms of the evolution in the two sports are really so clear. You can't escape it if you really look at it with an open mind. With the other horses in the field with a chance to win, ultimately in our remaining couple minutes, I'm going to put it out there. I will take Pharaoh to get off to a good, strong lead and just barely hang on at the end. I will say American Pharaoh, Frosted the Place, Materiality to show. What say you, Steve, as far as the overall field here, who can get it done, who you think will?
There's only eight in here. I think a few of them can get it done, but I'm certainly going to pick as my winner. I'm going to go with Frosted. I think he had a horrific trip in the Derby. He was wide on both turns. He was the only one going forward in the stretch. He was the one who came out of the pack to be fourth, beaten only 3 1/4 lengths. He rallied from 15th. He was excellent in the Wood Memorial. An angle I like a lot that seems to have gotten out of favor in the last few years is he raced at Belmont as a two-year-old. It was admittedly his second lifetime start, but he has raced over the track. You know, Belmont's a mile and a half with those huge sweeping turns. They call it the Big Sandy for a reason. The track is a little different. American Farrow, I know, trained at Churchill Downs and came up to New York today, so he might just go around the track slowly a couple of times, you know, in the next few days, but he's not even going to train on it, never mind race on it. That doesn't mean he can't win, but generally speaking, I like horses who have a start over the track, even if it was a year ago. Kieran McLaughlin, an excellent trainer. You know, in 2006, he finished fourth in the Derby with Jazeel, skipped the Preakness, won the Belmont. I don't know, maybe it's just a fluke thing that he finished fourth in the Derby and Frosted finished fourth in the Derby, but I kind of like them. I also look back at Frosted's prior races. He was very poor in the Fountain of Youth, and they scoped him after the race. They put something down his throat to look what was down there, and they wound up doing a minor throat procedure on him after the Fountain of Youth. So his two races since they did that minor throat procedure, he won the Wood by 2 lengths back in April. He ran a big race in the Derby, in my opinion. You know, you can go watch that. His jockey is Joel Rosario, who you will remember last year, Rick. We spoke a lot about him. Why? Because when we did the Belmont show with Jody McDonald last year, we both liked Tonalist to win, and one of the reasons was Joel Rosario. Joel Rosario has ridden Frosted the last two times. The Wood Memorial victory was the first time he rode him, and now the Derby. He obviously knows the horse. My only complaint would be, and this is a good thing for him now that there's only 8 horses in the race, in those other races he came from pretty far back to win, and you generally, even though the Belmont's a mile and a half and people talk about closers, you don't really come from way back, but in an 8-horse field, if he moves him up just a little early in the race, we don't know what post position he has as we're talking right now, but if he can stay close to the leaders in an 8-horse race, that shouldn't be hard. I think his kick at the end is going to have him go by an American Pharaoh, especially if a horse like Materiality, who's another horse a lot of people like. Materiality, Todd Pletcher's horse, was 3 for 3 before the Derby. I thought he had a pretty clean trip in the Derby, but he had a terrible break. He usually likes to go for the lead. I think he's going to go for the lead in the Belmont, and that might put some pressure on American Pharaoh. If American Pharaoh gets loose on the lead, horses do win the Belmont on the lead, even though it is a mile and a half. And the only caveat to all of this that I would say is if it rains, if there's a monsoon 15 minutes before the Belmont, American Pharaoh really picks up because he loves the slop. I'll just mention briefly a few of the other horses because they do deserve to be mentioned. And there's only, you know, 8 in the field. But a hot horse now, if you will, is this Moob Tahij, who's Irish bred. And, you know, I read something about his breeding, and he's bred to go forever, and people are saying, oh, he can go a mile and a half, no problem. And all of that is true, Rick. But, again, watch the Derby. It was his first start in America. Normally the horses that come from, Dubai don't do well. He made kind of a move towards the top of the stretch, and then he just flattened out and even went backwards. So if that happened at a mile and a quarter, no matter how he's bred, I don't see how he's going to be great at a mile and a half. But he's kind of the hot horse, if you will.
I want to thank you so much, Steph, for being a part of the show here today. Great stuff breaking it all down. Thank you, as always, Steve. Thank you all, everybody, for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, The Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.